Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hello and welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. I'm Amanda Quinn.
And I'm Laura Jackson.
And in today's podcast, we are talking about three ways in order to get your fitness motivation game strong. I think this is a really good topic because I think, you know, one of the things, like, you can have a plan in place or you can, like, go to the gym and do all these things, but sometimes you just don't feel motivated. Like, does that ever happen to you, Laura? Like, do you ever have those days where you just kind of wake up and you're like, even though it's a part of your daily routine, it's a part of your lifestyle, do you ever have those days where you just feel like the last thing you actually want to do is go to the gym or do a workout?
All the time. All the time.
Let's have some truth talk here.
No, and I think it's funny because it's one of the things that I get asked probably the most is like, oh my God, how do you stay motivated? And I mean, we'll get into it a little bit more, and I've mentioned this on other podcasts, but it's like the only thing I say is you've got to make it like a lifestyle as opposed to something that you need to thrive on motivation to do. You know what I mean? Because if that's the case, like, I can go from being, you know, having a totally amazing pump day to having a day where I don't even want to get out of bed, which is, you know, it's cold, it's dark, I'm overwhelmed, whatever. And the last thing I want to be doing is going to the gym. So, but once you've incorporated it into your lifestyle as like a habit, it almost just becomes second nature. So you don't really need to rely on motivation all the time. Because if I had to rely on motivation alone, oh my God, I would be a stop and start worker outer for sure.
Totally. I completely agree with you. And I find, you know, my biggest thing, and we will talk about this after, but my biggest thing is as soon as I break my schedule, that's when I lose my motivation because it's like, because then I actually will not lose my motivation. That's when I actually have to motivate myself. Because I'm the same as you in the sense that my workouts are my lifestyle. It is part of my routine. And, it, you know, it's scheduled into my days. But as soon as I break that and I have to do it at a different time of day, like even today, I'm like, I didn't do my workout this morning because I had stuff that I had to do. And now I'm like, all I keep thinking about in the back of my mind is like, I have to get it done, but I really don't want to, you know? And it's just like, I have to motivate myself to actually do it. Obviously, once you do it, you feel amazing and you're so happy you did it. But it's kind of like one of those things where like you have to figure out how to make it your lifestyle. But for the people listening, what we're going to talk about today is how to motivate yourself in those moments, in those days, in those times when you're feeling just like the last thing I want to do is work out.
Let's do it.
All right. So one thing before we get started that I thought was interesting and I wanted to share was that there was actually a recent study that was done by the National Center for Health Stats. And they found that only 19% of people on average engage in physical activity 3 times per week. Isn't that kind of a crazy stat? To me, that seems insane.
No. And I mean, I think, yes, it does sound insane, but I also think that that's also because, you know, we also are surrounded by like-minded people. So if you're someone who, you know, your community or your family or your friends have never been active, it's very easy for you to follow up on their habits. You know what I mean? So like, mm-hmm. like for me, for someone to say, oh, I have to cancel a coffee date. I missed my workout today. I got to get it in. It doesn't even faze me. You know, I'm like, yeah, no problem. Let's do it next week, whatever. But like for some people, you know, if they didn't get their workout and they're just like, oh, forget it. Or they don't even think about doing a workout. You know, like for me, it's just such a normal part of people, of my life and people I know's life that for me, I find this shocking, but probably for most people, working out 3 times a week probably seems like a lot.
Yeah, no. And what I found so interesting about this stat was the idea that like only 19 people actually engage in physical activity. And so it's kind of like, all of the other people, which is a whopping, they say it's a whopping 63% of people do nothing at all, even though they know the benefits of working out. So, and they say the main reason why that they actually don't is because they lack motivation. Now, when I hear that stat, that blows me away because it's like, okay, if you know the benefits, but maybe it's like when I was thinking about this a lot, and I was thinking, you know, maybe it comes from a place of logic versus actual, like, real deep understanding. Because, I mean, logically, if you know the benefits to something, you could be like, okay, I should do this. But when you actually get involved, so if you are one of those people that, you know, you're like, okay, I'm going to start working out 3 times a week, the way that you're going to feel in term, inside and out in terms of your body and everything else, your energy levels, et cetera, will be so different than probably how you're feeling now if you're one of the 63% who do nothing at all, that eventually it doesn't become logic anymore. It becomes like, you know what I mean? Like, you feel it, you crave it, you need it kind of thing.
Well, that's where, and that's where what, you know, what I was saying earlier about, you know, if I had to rely on motivation, and I think that's where a lot of people, they get it twisted a bit because they think like you have to be motivated to work out. I don't believe that. I believe you have to be motivated to make a change. You have to be motivated to create a habit. But motivation, it's like willpower. When people talk about willpower for smoking or willpower for, you know, I'm going on a diet, I don't have any willpower, I ate the whole bag of chips. I don't believe willpower exists. I think that I think it sets you up to fail. I think that life is fluid, and I think that you need motivation to make the change. You know what I mean? As opposed to willpower to stay the long course. Like, I totally think willpower is the biggest load of BS I've ever heard in my life. you need to change habits, and you need to create new habits. So I think it's getting away from thinking of exercise as needing motivation, but thinking of it as, okay, what is going to motivate me to start on a fitness journey? And right. For a lot of people, it is not going to be, and I wish it was, it's not going to be their health. Unless you are, you know, very close to an illness, you have been diagnosed with something, hypertension, high cholesterol, something that scares you, a lot of people will keep on going on a negative path until something really, really bad happens and it's like dire straits. You know what I mean? You got to find so back to what I was saying. So most people who are looking for motivation, the things that really motivate people to get working out, unfortunately, but if it's a gateway, is weight loss. Most people, that's what motivates them, is either looking good in an outfit, you know, for a party or an event, or putting on clothes and they feel super tight and you're like, screw this, I got to get to the gym immediately. You know what I mean? Like, we had a friend of ours who, she's always been extremely comfortable in her skin. She gained a lot of weight with her second pregnancy and she couldn't lose it, but she was never self-conscious. She never felt, you know, bad about herself. And she was at a work event and someone said to her like, oh, you're pregnant again. Oh my God, that's so great. And for her, that was like the switch flipped. And she was like, that was her motivation, was like, okay.
Because she wasn't pregnant.
Yeah. She's like, I am not pregnant and I don't want to have another baby and I do not want people thinking I'm pregnant. And she's like, that's it, it's on. And, you know, she still loves her body the entire time. But she was like, that was the thing that made her sign up to the gym, change her eating habits. Now she's, you know, a year, like over a year in, she's lost 25 pounds. She's created a lifestyle of health and activity and nutrition. And like, she feels so amazing. So now she's created the habit, but she needed that motivation to get her in the door.
Definitely.
And I think a lot of people listening relate to that, because I think a lot of people right now are like, oh, I just really want to start working out. But like, it's like you need to find the bigger picture. You need to find the thing that's going to kick your butt into.
You got to find the why.
Yeah.
Like, you got to find out your why. Like, what is your reason? What is your deeper reason why?
And it's okay. It's okay if it's to fit into that dress. It's okay. It's okay if it's to lose 20 pounds. Like, that's okay. But that's the thing you've got to find, and you've got to go back to, because the days where there is no motivation until it's a habit, you got to have something that's going to get you out the door.
Agree with that 100%. But going back to sort of what we're going to be talking about today, it's kind of, I do think that you do have to have like that bigger motivation to kind of get you started. But then today, what we're really focusing on is outside of that, once you are on the path and you're kind of, you know, you're into a routine, but then you lose that motivation, that sort of daily motivation that just, you know, it just happens to just fall by the wayside sometimes. Today, we're going to talk about 3 helpful tips on how to keep you going during those times. So maybe not necessarily it may be the starting point, but it may also be like the in between, like you are regularly working out and then now you actually need to like continue with finding motivation because you're losing it or you're lacking it a little bit here and there.
Totally. And that's what I think. I think anyone who's listening right now who isn't working out yet and is thinking, I need the motivation to get started, find your why and then practice these habits. You know what I mean? Find that thing that's going to be your focus point. Put it on your vision board, put it on the wall where you can see it, you know, find that thing that is your reason why you're going to do it. And then follow these three things once on the dips and the days it's not working.
Yeah. All right. So the first one, and you kind of touched on this already, but in like a bigger sort of broad strokes way, but the first tip in order to keep you motivated to get your sweat on is to get rid of the negativity. And I'm keeping that sort of like a broad statement because it kind of is, because it's like, what I mean by getting rid of the negativity, it can be anything from how you're working out to who you're surrounding yourself with. So when I talk about how you're working out, it's my number one thing is avoid doing things you hate. So I remember back like years ago, I remember thinking to myself, okay, I'm going to start running. Because I thought running was going to be like this be all end all to help me like lose weight and whatever. And I hated it. Like every single time I'd go for a run, the whole time, all I'd be thinking about is how much I hated running. And then I realized that if I hate it, I probably should just not do it. And I should find something else that I actually enjoy or enjoy more than I hated running. And switch it, because in all reality, if you are doing something consistently that you were just like every single time you do it, you hate it and you are just dreading it, the chances of you staying motivated to do it are probably like very, very slim. And on top of that, like, this is your life. Why do you want to be doing like spending time doing things that you just despise all the time, right? Also, when you're doing something that is super negative because you're not enjoying it, you will actually lose that mind-body connection because you won't actually be paying attention to your body and how good it feels and what you're doing. You instead will just be focusing on when is this going to be over and doing that like mental countdown, like, okay, there's 20 minutes left of this run. So that's like 4 or 5 minute sections. Like, I don't know if you ever play that game with yourself. I do it with myself, where I have to like break down things into smaller chunks to make it feel like it's less. And so if you have to do those kinds of things, maybe explore your other options to find something that is not such a negative impact in your daily routine.
Well, and one other thing that I find in addition to, you know, obviously to finding things that you like, and exercise is, it's a stress on the body. Like in all reality, it is a stress on the body. The body is breaking itself down to, you know, either to lose weight or to break the muscle down to rebuild stronger muscles for, you know, a lack of any scientific terms.
Yeah.
So it is a stress on the body. So it's not enjoyable all the time. It hurts. You're out of breath.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah.
And when you're in your anaerobic system, when you're working your anaerobic system, it means without oxygen. So you can't breathe. Like, there's things about it that I'm not making it sound very sexy and great, but the rest afterwards is so fabulous. But it's one of those things that, like, when you're first starting out, you have to be, and even when you've been doing it for a while and you're switching your routine, you're progressing and trying different things, you have to be patient with the fact that it's not going to necessarily feel great right away. Because when we say avoid doing things you hate, some people are like, I hate exercise. Well, unfortunately,
well, yeah, no, of course.
That's, you can't avoid the exercise.
I mean, still do exercise, but find something that you like despise the least.
Yeah, find your exercise passion. But what I like to do as well, though, is if there is a routine that I'm doing that I find really challenging, or there's something in it that I don't like. So let's say for me, I hate doing squats. I'm tall. You know, it's very different.
I find that surprising. I thought you loved
heavy barbell squats, like, you know, Olympic squats.
Yeah.
I love them for what they do for my body. But while I'm doing them, I literally, because it's so heavy and it's so taxing on the body and my legs feel like jello and they're shaking and it burns and it hurts, but in a good way. But it's one of these things I just like, I avoid wanting to do it. However, what I do then is I do it first. And this is the best thing to do with anything that you find that you are going to potentially skip later on in your workout. Just get it over with right away, because you'll be more likely to do the rest of your workout, as opposed to if you do it later on, you're more likely to skip the thing you don't like the most. So that way it's kind of like it's out of the way, it's done. And especially with something like squats, because it requires the most amount of energy, you want to do that first because you want to make sure you're using, you know, you have as much energy as possible to do it. But it's the same thing with cardio, you know, unless you have a specific goal you're training for, depends on when you do your cardio. A lot of times I recommend doing cardio after your weight session. Because a lot of times the muscles you use in your weight section are used in your cardio section too. So you want to make sure you're getting the most out of your weights. But if you really hate doing cardio, do it first and get it over with. So that's kind of one way that helps me get rid of the negativity around my workout and stay motivated, is because I'm just like, okay, get these things out of the way right away. So I don't have to be dreading the whole workout thinking those squats are coming.
Wah. Yeah. No, it's so true. And then it allows you to end your workout on a positive note, right? Because usually, I don't know if you do this, but I do, where I'll usually choose something that I really like at the end, like whatever it is. I'll kind of save that to the end of my workout if I can, if possible, because then it's kind of like I end on a positive note and I feel motivated again.
For sure.
The other thing that you can do in terms of getting rid of negativity is that you can basically avoid, this is outside of the workout stuff, but avoid the negatrons in your life. So the negatrons are the people that are in your life that gripe at you for making health a priority or trying to sabotage you. And it's a little bit off topic, but it's really not if you think about it, because
I don't think it's off topic at all.
When you think about motivation, one of the biggest things is, you know, that you have to be pumped and you have to kind of like be mentally in like that great headspace to be able to take this on and, you know, to be taking on such a challenge as to like changing your lifestyle and your health and your wellness is a really big deal. And if you're surrounding yourself with people that are, you know, upset at you because you have to cancel because you want to get to the gym, or they're not giving you time, or they're kind of, you know, just like always kind of making comments or like anything else. And I know we've talked about this before on one of our podcasts. But if those are kind of the people that you're surrounding yourself with, how can you feel motivated? You know, because it's constantly, it's like, it's beating you down sort of for what your goals and your beliefs and your new lifestyle is. So definitely one of the biggest things I say is just try to like, you know, get them like a little, you know, even if there's someone that's super close to you, it could be your spouse, it could be your kids, it could be your family. I mean, if that's the case, just find someone that does motivate you and use them as sort of your guide and sort of your tool to keep them close to you. And maybe just push those people a little bit aside, especially when you are struggling with motivation.
Well, and I like to call them energy suckers.
Yeah.
And we also call them health saboteurs. So the podcast, if you are experiencing
that. That's which one it was. Sorry, I couldn't remember what it was.
Yeah. Go. I think it's like episode 2 or 3, but if you look on iTunes, you can see it. If you are experiencing health saboteurs in your life, I really recommend you listen to that podcast, because we go through some really great strategies that you could still, you know, not alienate the people you love, but, you know, still stay focused on your journey and try to help to get them to transition to support you. Because I think it's biggest thing in life is who you surround yourself with, and they're either adding to your cup or they're taking away from your cup, and there's no in between. There's no people, life is not static. There's no people that just keep you stable. You know what I mean? Like, they're either, even the people who you think are just, you know, calm force in your life, they provide you that support to rise higher. Whereas people who are constantly taking your energy, taking your time, your focus, because like in a negative way, it's taking away from the person that you are meant to be. So I think we are sometimes a little nice about it, but I do think that there's times in life where you really got to do a reevaluation of who's in your life and what quality of life you want to have. And especially when it comes to healthy living, because I find that when you start to transition into a healthier lifestyle, there's a lot of people who get very uncomfortable with that because they think that that means they have to change their lifestyle or you won't be the same person anymore. And that's not the case. So I just, especially when you're first, and again, I know I keep saying first starting out, but for anyone listening who is first starting out, this is where you really want to surround yourself with the positive people to help you get the negativity out. Like, even if it's online people, even if it's people that you respect in the online world in fitness, that you can kind of read their blogs and go on their forums and chat with like-minded people, it will really, really help you stay the course. And also, again, during those lulls, have someone who's out there who's going to pick you back up.
Well said.
I hate negatrons. I hate energy suckers. And I know it sounds negative to say I hate energy suckers, but I, when you're on the outside watching people, you know, and I have clients that I'm just like, oh my gosh, like it makes me so frustrated for them that I'm like, oh, if we could just get these, you know, this coworker out of your life and have them stop saying these things. But again, it's you choose what you consume. So you choose who you surround yourself with.
Definitely. All right. So that is it for our negativity tip. Our next tip on how to keep your mojo flowing when you're trying to get motivated for the gym, for your workouts, is number two, and this is one that you and I strongly believe in, of course, which is plan your workouts. We talk about this a lot, but it's like, I almost feel like it should be number one, but I like the negativity stuff talking about that as well. So, but planning your workouts is probably the key to success. Agree or disagree?
Oh, I totally think agree.
Yeah. And I actually have your favorite quote in here, that a goal without a plan is just a wish. And I, you always say that, and it's so true. It's such a good quote, because, you know, it's one of those things where you can, like, you know, you could be wishing that you had a better booty, but, or that you had more energy. But if you don't have a plan in place to do those things, if you don't have a plan in place to get that booty, or if you don't have a plan in place to get moving, you're really just sitting around thinking about it. So you need to have a plan.
And I think as well, when you have a plan, and this is one thing I know from experience, is that it takes away so much of the stress around the process. And this can be for your workouts or your life or anything in general, is mm-hmm. that, you know, like, for example, just say you're 50 pounds overweight. And you see somebody who you're like, oh my gosh, like, I want to look like her. That is your initial motivation. Even though we're, again, you know, everyone has their own motivation. We wish it was just for health, but let's be real here. It's not. So you see this person and you're like, oh my God, I want to look like her. And you feel like there's no way I could ever get there, because you're just like, look at me right now. You know what I mean? Like, you are so stuck in the current place that you can't even see how that could even be a possibility. Whereas mm-hmm. when you start to craft out the plan, it takes away the stress, because you, instead of focusing on the end, you know, the end goal, you're just like, okay, week by week, this is exactly what I'm going to do. And then sure. one day suddenly you are there and you're looking like the person who you wanted, the goal you wanted to get to. And it's one of those things that it's just like, you're like, holy crap. But when you're first starting out and you're looking down that road, it seems like it's impossible. So with that plan, it takes away the stress. It just becomes, just follow the plan. Don't think about the end. Just follow the plan.
Exactly. No, for sure. It allows it to be like, it's like almost like bite-sized chunks, right? Like, it almost allows for you to kind of like be able to digest it, understand it, and like move towards it in small pieces, as opposed to feeling just really overwhelmed with every thought process that goes into like, oh my gosh, to get there is going to be a massive undertaking and I can't get there.
Well, and because the way our brains and the way that we're built is that we cannot process after a certain amount of information. I can't remember what it is. And it's so then we just shut down. And that's what I see happen with so many people, especially with a fitness journey. And especially if you have a lot of weight to lose, you know what I mean? Or you've never been on one before and you have a long way to go to get to where you want to be. So it just starts to feel really overwhelming. And so it's just, we're not built to be able to process that much. So if we just kind of, like you said, I like that, like, digestible bite-sized chunks. If it's information we can digest, like a plan for 1 week of workouts. So I know this coming week, this is exactly what I'm going to do on Monday to Sunday. These are my rest days. All I have to do is follow the plan. It takes the stress out of that week and just focus on that week.
For sure.
And then you can handle that.
Definitely. And so, I mean, in order, like, from a logistical standpoint, in order to, like, actually make the plan, you know, sort of the steps in my mind is really, like, put it in your agenda, whether it's like you have a calendar in your phone, or you have, you know, I'm old school and I write everything down in like a handwritten agenda. So whatever it is, Google calendars, whatever you do, but put it actually in your calendar. And then the other part is to actually involve your family, your friends, your coworkers, your spouse, whatever it is, tell them what it is that you're doing, as long as they're not a negatron. And dedicate that time to yourself, because as soon as you tell them, this is sort of like this time that I've blocked off, like between 7 and 8 p.m. every night, I'm taking that hour to myself to better myself, to better my health, to dedicate to my health and wellness. If you have anyone who is giving you guilt about that or anything like that, you know, generally you need to have a conversation with them, because really, like, they should be proud of you and they should really be encouraging you at that point, in my opinion. Because if you are dedicating an hour to yourself and that's all you're asking for so that you can really stay focused on your end goal and sort of your personal health journey, they should be motivating you as well to do the same. And also, in the end, you should almost be an inspiration to them if they're not sort of following a plan already. And then the other thing is to make it non-negotiable. And I know that can be tough. Like, that's like a real, like, black and white statement, but, and I mean, there's going to be grayer. There's going to be things that just do come up that just, you know, no matter what, you just can't get around it. But generally, you know, one of the things that I say to a lot of our clients is try to make it so that it's in your calendar and it's a non-negotiable. Let your work know. If you have to stay late one day, let them know that you have an appointment. Like, give them advance notice that every, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 6 o'clock, you have to leave the office because you have this commitment to yourself. Of course, when those times come up, they're going to come up. If you can, then try to carry it over the next day, but really try to make it a non-negotiable. One of the things that I see often happening with a lot of our clients is they're just like, oh, I got stuck at work, you know, catching up on things and stuff. Catch up on it tomorrow. Unless it's something that is urgent in nature, catch up on it the next day. It'll still be there on your desk the next morning.
Well, I can't remember what the stat is. It's so funny because I think it's something like we spend an average of 4 hours on our phones every single day. Four hours. And that's between, you know, the quick little glances, the 5 minute surfing, the whatever. Like, if you have 4 hours to be on your phone, you have 30 minutes to work out. And yeah. I find I'm very compassionate. I'm very understanding and try to always meet people where they're at. But the one thing that I find very frustrating is when the excuses, because someone once told me behind every excuse is actually a fear. So what is the fear? And that's what you have to figure out. What are you afraid of? Because when you say, I can't, I don't have time, I don't have this, really there's a reason why you are not committing to that. And probably it's because you're not ready to really make a change, you know, as opposed to, I just don't have time to be healthy. You know, I don't have time for that. It's like, you're really just not ready to maybe have a new body, have a new health, change your dynamic of your friendships or whatever that may come along with that. But I just think, you know, if this is something that you want to do and you want to be healthy and you want to change your body and your weight and all these things, it may require you getting up half an hour earlier every morning and going to the gym. But that's something that you have to start to be honest with yourself and make those changes. Because I think a lot of times, you know, we give ourselves permission to not do things. And I talk a lot about permission too. And I think that we have to give ourselves permission to take a break. But I also think that we give ourselves a little bit too much wiggle room, that we think there's a difference between, like, okay, I need this rest, or just like, ugh, I don't want to deal with this today. I'm just tired. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
there's a fine line between the two, and you've got to kind of recognize that, and you've got to be honest with yourself.
Definitely. But yeah, I mean, so definitely in terms of having a plan, it's try to avoid the excuses, have a plan in place, put it in your calendar, make it a non-negotiable. Speak to your family about it, make it so that it's a concrete part of your life. And really, once you have it set in place, that's what's really going to help you stay motivated, right? Because then you see it. And I know you were saying, you know, earlier about, like, you know, plan out your week in advance, but I read this one tip and I really liked it. And it was about planning out a month in advance for your workouts. And so the reason why I liked it was because what it does is it makes you accountable, because you actually plan out the whole month. And then if you do miss a workout, so say you're like, okay, I'm going to do 16 workouts for the month of November. And you write out all of your workouts on the days that you're going to do the workouts. If you miss it, you carry it over to the next month. So if you say you skip 2 workouts, the next month you now have to do 18. So it's kind of like almost like a way of, like, tricking yourself in a way to motivate yourself, because now you're like, okay, well, if I skip it, now I'm going to have to double up more again next month. And then, you know, if you keep skipping, eventually you're going to have to work out 30 days So I kind of liked it as like just like a fun sort of way to like keep yourself motivated, because you know that like no matter what, it's not just going away.
Yeah, like I'm in a little bit of a different, I could see that, like, but I definitely find that the week is the most effective. Like I like the idea of having your workouts for the month. Like if you get a program from a trainer or you're following a program that someone gives you, and then you just focus on doing that week. Because the one thing I find though is when you, again, when you give yourself permission to skip and you start to bank up, I guarantee that probably that 30 days of workouts is going to come in month three. Because we give ourselves too much leeway. So when you have a week, it's almost like, okay, I have two rest days this week. Shoot, I can't make my, I'm going to miss my workout on Wednesday. My rest day is Thursday. I'm going to do my workout on Thursday. As opposed to, I'll carry it over to next month. I'll carry it. You know what I mean? Like it's just,
agreed.
It's human nature to kind of back it up. So agreed. I like the idea of the overview of the plan of this is what we're doing for the entire month. But I just want you to look at this week and make sure you get these five workouts in over these 7 days.
No, agreed with that. I just think that it's kind of a fun way too, to like force yourself to like, you do have to carry them over. So it kind of, it makes you then accountable. If you do have to have a day where you're going to miss it, you have to do it the next day or else you are going to have to carry it over. So make yourself really committed to that number of workouts every single month.
Well, and I think that that's something that carries into to the next point is, you know, about, you know, our number three is about competing or have a milestone in place that you want to reach. But one of the main things that comes along with, you know, with those types of things is having accountability and having an accountability partner or having accountability to an event that makes you, you know what I mean, stay focused. And I find mm-hmm. that when you're accountable to just yourself, it's very, very few people can do it. And even I find it really hard. You know, there's times where I've talked about this before, like I have accountability partners and I reach out to them. I have accountability business partners as well as I have accountability fitness partners. And that's because, you know, again, there's times where I know motivation is going to slump, but they also, it gives me someone I know I have to answer to. And for me, I respond very well to that. And 90% of the population does. There's very few people who are just completely self-motivated and stay the course exactly the way it is. You know what I mean? Without some sort of deadline, timeline, accountability partner or something.
For sure. One thing that's interesting though, I was reading this article that was talking about having milestones in place versus goals. And I really like this because a lot of times what happens when people are starting to get motivated, they'll choose something specifically that they want to work towards as their end goal. So it could be, I'm going to run this 5-kilometer race, or I'm going to run a marathon, or I'm working out specifically towards my wedding date, you know, so all different reasons. But generally people have like the motivation, sort of the why usually ends up being this one thing that's like this big be all end all at the end, right? Like this, like the grand finale. But this article I was reading was a very interesting thought process. And it's saying, rather than always seeing it as a goal, see everything that you choose, all of your whys, as a milestone. And the reason why is if you have, for example, your wedding day is your end goal and that's what you're working towards, majority of people, once they reach that day, after that day, then have zero motivation. So then they all of a sudden just become completely complacent and they do not continue with their lifestyle, their healthy lifestyle, because they feel like I reached my goal, I'm moving on. Same thing for marathon runners, etc. A lot of times once they run their marathon, they then actually stop training because now they feel like they have nothing to train for. So if you actually see it as a milestone, so it could be my wedding is my milestone, and then after that it's to continue my health because maybe I want to have children or because I want to run a race or for my honeymoon or whatever the case may be, but consistently have things set as milestones as opposed to goals. So then that way there, because they say that it's really hard mentally once you reach a goal to then continue with something. Oftentimes we just want to be like, okay, I did it. And then you feel accomplished and then you kind of just stop doing whatever it is that you were doing to get to that goal.
Well, and I love that too. I love the idea of the milestone because I think exactly it keeps it as a continuous journey. It doesn't keep it as a destination or as the goal has been completed. It's almost like that's just one milestone in my fitness journey. Now where's the next one? You know, and exactly. It keeps it fluid. And also it keeps it things change as your life changes and as things, you know, like for me, my goals or milestones when I was 25 are totally different than they are now. And they'll probably be totally different again in 10 more years. So it's a great way to keep it changing and keep it, you know, it's relevant to you as to what's going on in your life right now.
Definitely. It evolves with you for sure. But yeah, so definitely with milestones, I like to think of it, like I said, milestones versus goals. But then the other part is about competition. And this is kind of for anyone out there listening who is competitive in nature. There is the idea too, that a lot of times people become motivated by setting up some sort of healthy competition, whether it be with family, with friends, with coworkers. It doesn't have to focus on weight either. So that's like one thing. I mean, I know that there are like those diet bets out there where you can actually get motivated. You join this diet bet online, you pay a small amount to enter, and then you're committed to losing a certain percentage of your weight. And then, you know, you win money if you reach your goal, et cetera. There are those. So if that's something that totally motivates you, because money motivates people, and if you need something like that to really commit, go for it. But if you want something that is less about your weight and more about consistency, I find that that usually motivates people more. So less about, okay, well, you know, if I'm doing it with my friend, like our goal is to lose 10 pounds, because if you don't lose those 10 pounds in 30 days or 40 days or whatever the case may be, you may just become really frustrated. Whereas,
well, not only that, go ahead.
Whereas if you focus on consistency and you keep your focus on, okay, we're going to work out together and we're consistently going to work out 3 times a week together for the next 3 months, and then we're going to see how we're feeling, and but we're going to keep each other accountable. And you know, if somebody doesn't show up to the class one day, then they owe the other person maybe a coffee or something. Like, make it so that it's just really simple, but it becomes about the continuity of the working out as opposed to just being focused on weight. Because also with weight, it's so like, there's so much gray area when it comes to weight loss, because your body's going to lose weight differently. You might start gaining weight before you're losing weight if you're transitioning your body from like fat to muscle. Like, there could just be so much happening in your body that you don't even understand, that it's like when you focus just on the weight side, it can become a really hard sort of like thing to get over mentally.
Well, that's exactly what I wanted to say, was just that I don't like these.
It's like, I read your mind.
Exactly. Like, I love the idea of exactly supporting each other and healthy comp, not even competition, because I'm not competitive, but I know some people really are. And like, even within, when we, at one of our retreats, all of our, there was a group of chicks, they were all friends, there was 5 of them, and they all have Fitbits, and they can all go online. They do a stepping challenge. So they try to get the most steps a day with a minimum of 10,000. So when they go online or they log into the app, they can see how many steps everybody else in the group has done that day. So it, like, for them, because they're very competitive, it motivates them. It's like, oh my God, Jane's beating me. Got to get moving. You know what I mean? So they're out on their lunch break for walks and things like that. So it's, that to me is a good, healthy competition for, you know, who's the step queen of the day. But I find when it comes to weight, exactly what you're saying, like, it just, it's too much of a slippery slope mentally. B, it's, there's so many variables that, you know, if you're working out with a friend who's 5'2" and you're 5'10", she has 100 pounds to lose, you only have 10 pounds to lose. You've never worked out before, she's worked out her whole life, you know, like, you have her period, she doesn't, like, and we're focusing the whole thing on, we need to lose 10 pounds this month. Like, that is a completely ridiculous way, I think, of looking at it, because it sets you up for failure. And also, in that 4 weeks, you could have lost quite a lot of fat. We're not talking about weight. Weight includes water. Weight includes muscle loss. We're talking about specific fat loss. You can lose a lot of fat, but you might not even, it might not even register yet within that 4 weeks, because, again, the body's fluid. So it might catch up, and those results might show up at week 7 that you've done during that four weeks, but you know what I mean? It's not there yet on the scale or on the measurements. So I think, like you were saying, like, the weight loss bets and the weight loss goals, get those completely out of the way, especially when it comes to doing it with somebody else, because your body is not their body.
Yeah. It's gonna react totally different, even if you're doing the exact same thing and eating the exact same plans and everything else.
Well, I always think about, you know, even when, remember when you and I went to the Biggest Loser Ranch?
So oh yeah.
We trained at the Biggest Loser Ranch and we went for a week. And we were doing the exact same workouts. We were doing, Amanda was wearing her heart rate monitor and calorie burn. We were burning like 5,500 calories a day or something insane. So we calculated out the math because 3,500 calories is a pound lost. You know, we calculated and we knew how much we were eating because we were eating 1,200 calories. This, yes, sounds ridiculous, and it is. But we were eating 1,200 calories.
It was a good challenge.
We were doing it more for research purposes too, to see how, you know.
Yeah, no, it was, people were doing. It was a really cool experience. It was definitely not something I could have done for more than a week.
But it was, so we calculated out the whole thing, and I remember going into that final weigh-in, and I had lost, I think it was like 8 pounds, apparently 8 pounds of, you know, who knows, water weight, whatever else. And I remember you had only...
I'd lost nothing.
Yeah, you, your scale said nothing, and you were so upset, and you're like, well, we did the same thing, like, why are you at eight pounds? And I'm like, you know, no, just wait, like, the body, your body's going to catch up and show or react differently. But that was just a perfect example of, like, two people, and yes, we have completely different body compositions, but two people doing the exact same workouts, eating the exact same calories, and having totally different results. One having no pounds lost, one having 8 pounds lost.
But then I do remember that it was about 2 or 3 weeks after we got back that all of a sudden I lost like 7 pounds, like just out of nowhere. And I don't weigh. I mean, I don't even know what I weigh, and I don't weigh myself because I really feel like weight is just this gray area that really doesn't matter to me. But I do remember that because I remember afterwards, because we were just about to film and I was like, whoa, I wonder how this happened. But it was obviously just my body composition catching up to me for all of the calorie deficit and hard work that I put in 3 weeks before. But
oh yeah, that's like me. Like I'll suddenly have like a month, and I know I'm just jumping off topic, but I'll have a month where I'm like, you know, really focused on my working out and getting the most nutrient dense food in, and I'm not eating, you know, any inflammatory foods or things that my body reacts to. And I'm like, whoa, I feel like I'm gaining weight. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm like, I've been so quote unquote good. I don't like saying that word, but you know, being good this month, and it's and I'm like, whoa, why do I feel like I'm gaining weight? And then suddenly like 2 weeks later, I'll be, you know, having a weekend where I'm like, it's, you know, lots of wine and it's events and I'm eating a lot of foods I haven't been eating and whatever. And next thing you know, I wake up the next morning feeling, you know, 10 pounds lighter than I did like the week before. And I'm like, what the heck? But it's because, you know, it's weight loss is not linear. Progress is not linear. You don't just like decide you're going to start one day and everything keeps going in the same direction. It's like, it's peaks and valleys. And that's the amazing awesomeness of the body, is that it has a lot of other functions that it has to do other than just losing weight. So depending on what those things are during that given time, you might not be seeing those things, but when they come into balance, then suddenly it shows up.
Agreed. Okay, so we are going to wrap this baby up because basically those are the main tips. So the main tips, basically, you know, if you are someone who is looking to either get motivated, stay consistent, you know, three main things is get rid of the negativity. Number two is all about creating a plan, get a plan in place, please. And then the number three thing is to either find some sort of competition or some sort of, whether it be, you know, having a milestone, try to think of it as milestones, not goals, but have something set up in place so that you are prepared and you are ready and you are focused. And this will definitely help in that motivation little lull. All right, so we always like to end our podcasts with the main takeaway. So Laura, what is your main takeaway for today for our listeners?
My main takeaway today is to what I kind of said at the beginning, like to find your why. Because yes, you can do all of these things and they're great, but if you don't know why you're doing this, it's going to be, that's why a lot of people end up rebounding. You know, because they'll stick to a plan for a specific goal instead of a milestone, or, you know what I mean? They, it's just that one time thing. So you got to kind of dig deep and find that why. And it might be starting off with, you know, I want to look great at this event, but then think, well, why do I want to look great? Well, I want to look great because then I feel confident. Well, why do I want to feel confident? Well, because I want to be in charge of my life. You know what I mean? Like do a little bit of digging and it will help. It'll help be the like embers to your motivation, that even when the fire goes down, it's still going to be burning. It's still going to be there.
Very nice. My main takeaway is, well, it's the same as yours. So instead of giving my main takeaway, because I mean, my main takeaway really is just the same thing. Find your why, get a plan in place, figure it out. But I actually had one more thing that I wanted to add to this milestone competition thing that I forgot to add. So I'm going to add it in now as my main takeaway. Outside of finding your why, this is also just something that I remembered that I read about, and I thought it was kind of a cool thing. So if you are someone who is planning one of those milestones, and your milestone may be about, you know, you were going to be doing a half marathon, I was reading about it, and it was saying one of the really cool things that a lot of people do to stay motivated to actually reach that goal or reach that milestone is that they plan it so that it's somewhere far away. So for example, like I live in Canada, and so I might book to go to like do the half marathon in Hawaii. And the reason why is because at that point, you will stay committed to your training schedule because you have already spent money to book your flights, to get your hotel, to commit to going to Hawaii, and also because you're excited probably to go to Hawaii or somewhere like that. So it actually creates kind of like a really positive mindset around the whole process of the training to reach that milestone. And it gets you up and gets you motivated and gets you moving consistently. So that was just like a little bonus tip instead of my main takeaway, because we both have the same main takeaway. So just something to think about.
I love it. And I would love to go to Hawaii for a milestone. Especially in the middle of our Canadian winter. So anyone want to do anything, let me know.
All right. So with that being said, we are going to wrap this up. So as always, we want to hear from you. If you have any ideas, any questions, anything that you want us to talk about, please email us at info@fitchicks.ca. Also, make sure that you check us out at fitchicks.ca on Instagram and on Twitter. And then we're also at Fitchicks Bootcamp on Facebook. And I know, Laura, do you want to just give a quick mention to the new program that you've just launched?
Yes. So we have an awesome new program coming up under our Fitchicks Academy. So we're all about spreading the healthy love, educating people who are interested in fitness, who are interested in getting certified in fitness, or who are already certified and want to take it to the next level. So we have our Fitness and Nutrition Expert Program, which is launching in April of 2017 again. But we also have a new program that we're just starting in January 23rd, 2017. Registration or pre-registration is open, and it's called the Natural Weight Loss Coach. So it's basically focused on weight loss, but weight loss is a byproduct of having the body in balance. So if you've listened to our podcast for a while, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, everything being holistic in manner. It's fitness, it's your nutrition, it's your wellness, it's your hormones, it's your digestion, it is the way you think, it is so many things. So this course encompasses all of that. It's 8 weeks, 8 modules, really showing how, whether you're looking for your own personal weight loss journey or you're looking to coach your clients through long-term weight loss, then this is definitely something that that you should be learning about. So if you go on to our website, www.fitchicksacademy.com, you can find more information. And you can also email us, info@fitchicks.ca, and we would love to chat more about it.
All right. Well, thank you very much, everyone, for listening, and have an amazing day. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.